Hello, friends. Greg Kokel here on Stand to Reason. And I thought for this special session, we'd do something in a way a little bit out of the ordinary. I mean, not completely, because I have Amy Hall with me on the air, and we did team up a while back, and I'm glad we did for opening remarks. And Amy, welcome back.
Thank you, Greg. It's nice to have you in charge of the show rather than having to be in charge of the show like I am on #STRS.
That's right. Well, see, that's what makes it easy for me. When I had Justin Brierley on board, he does this great podcast called Unbelievable out of the UK in London. And when I was there, I was on his show. But when he was in town, he was on my show. Actually, we did two shows. And one I hosted where he was my guest. And then we just switched, and he hosted, and I was his guest because he was filming something or recording something for his enterprise. And I did ask him, I said, what do you like better, being the host or being the being the host or being the guest? Different opposite there. And he said, I like being the host, which is what he usually is. And I said, I like being the guest because I don't have to worry about dead air. You know, I can stop talking, then the host is responsible. And that's what you're referring to just a few moments ago, probably, huh? When I stop talking, Amy's got to start talking.
That's right.
But fortunately for you, I don't stop talking for very long, right? So anyway, occupational hazard in my port. The reason I brought Amy on is because we have talked in the past about, very broadly, about, for lack of a better word, devotional life. That is the portion of our life that we are actively engaged in nurturing our relationship with the Lord. And then more narrowly, the role that scripture and memorization plays in that. And so I know this is a really important part of the life of almost every listener. That is their active relationship with God and how they nurture that relationship. And one of the ways that we nurture that relationship is through Scripture, which feeds us. The Word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, Scripture says. And Paul said, long for the pure milk of the Word in order that by it you may grow with regards to salvation. And with that in mind, and my great respect for Amy and her own spiritual life, I thought there's some things that I could learn from her experience over the years, nurturing that, particularly with the Word. And maybe I'd have some thoughts to throw in that would help others as well. So why don't we just start with that, Amy? You have been, how long have you been a Christian, just for the record?
I became a Christian the same year Stand to Reason started, so 1993, So it's easy to remember.
Yeah, that's right. We're coming up on our 28th anniversary, so...
I wasn't part of Stand to Reason at the time, but...
No, okay, so Stand to Reason had no role in bringing you to Christ.
Right.
Somehow we snatched you out of the movie industry where you made miniatures. So a lot of sets that were blown up.
That's right.
That's just like itty-bitty things that looked real, and you guys did a great job. So that was part of what you did before you came here, and you somehow found SDR. How'd you find SDR? I never heard that story.
I forgot. When I was working in the film industry, I started off as a production assistant, and I would hear advertisements for the Biola Apologetics program right when it started. So I decided I would get the degree. And so nights and weekends, I worked on that degree, and that's how I heard about Stand to Reason, and then I ended up volunteering.
Yeah, then we had you for non-paid staff for as long as you would put up with that.
Yeah, for a few years, yeah.
Then we dragged you in full-time, and you've been tremendous help. I don't know that people realize how apart from what they know that you do, like STR Ask and some other things with the online, the blog, etc. But Amy is my most capable editor. So we go over things like line for line, sometimes syllable for syllable, till I get it right. And she is a hard taskmaster, I will tell you. She's the common Nazi, for example, and but so much more that has to do, Amy, with content. And I just love your spiritual insight and your wisdom on so many things that we have to deal with at Stand to Reason. And people benefit from that, of course, by listening to STR Ask. And if you don't do that, hashtag STR Ask. Why don't you explain it to them, Amy, so bring people on board if they don't know about it.
So we started a shorter podcast, and the idea was to have Greg answer questions that are, you know, more brief. So on the radio show, he'll answer a question for 15 minutes, maybe longer. So in this show, we try and go through two or three questions in a 20-minute period. Sometimes we go over. Sometimes we only get through one question. But
yeah,
the idea,
so much for that idea. But it started out as like a 2-minute bell ring, and then we, you know. But I'm so glad that we're able to expand beyond that, because your contribution has been so valuable.
Thanks. So people send in their questions on Twitter with the hashtag STRAsk, and then I collect them, and then I ask Greg, and we talk about the questions and get through two or three in an episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, so let's just drill down a little bit onto this issue of a scripture memorization first off, because I have never been good at it personally, and I don't even know how to say this, because it's going to sound like I'm either bragging or it's going to make people angry at me. But I know lots and lots of verses, but almost in every case, I never tried to memorize them. They just somehow stuck through use or reflection or whatever. And I'm not trying to draw any attention to myself, because there was no effort that I put into it. They just stuck. And I use one translation, which is the New American Standard. And I think it's wise to, if you're starting out, to find a good translation and never change. And because I know my passages now in that translation, and shifting over feels weird. As long as you have a good translation, stick with it, and that will aid your memory process. And I think for me, Amy, I've just gone over and over passages, reflecting on them, thinking about them. And there are a very small few that I have worked at trying to memorize, but those are the ones that are hardest for me to recall. The ones that have just become part of me through use or reflection or whatever, the Holy Spirit, those are the ones that come easy. But you have actually gone through a much more disciplined effort of memorization that has paid great dividends for you. In fact, didn't you memorize a huge portion of just the book of Romans?
I'm up to chapter 7 in the book of Romans.
Oh, my goodness.
So, well, I have a lot to say. This is hard to even know where to start. But before I even give some tips, I want to give people a reason to do this. And there were a few things that prompted me to do this. One was, many years ago, I read a book by St. Patrick. Just his confessions.
Like the Shamrock guy.
Yeah. So this is, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. This is around the year 400.
Right.
And in his book, as he was writing, scripture just came out. So it was just part of his language. Hmm. And I just thought, I want the Bible to be that much a part of me that as I'm talking, as I'm writing, it just comes out. The phraseology, the ideas, I want it to become part of me. And so that was one thing that inspired me.
I remember John MacArthur saying once, you want your talk to be bibbling. It kind of captures the notion you just described.
And then I heard a few years ago, a story, there was an article, and I can't remember which magazine it was in, but there was a man who had memorized, and I think he was an actor, but he had memorized John Milton's Paradise Lost. And the way he described what it was like, I think, is very, it's the most it's the most accurate way I've heard this described. He said is it's like you're creating a cathedral in your mind. Hmm. So you can go through its hallways and see everything anytime you want. So you're setting up this thing in your mind, because what happens as you're memorizing, you have to really understand it. You're not going to be able to memorize large portions if you don't understand what you're reading. So it forces you to understand the flow of the argument. It forces you, if there's something you don't understand, it forces you to figure out what you're reading. It helps you to see connections from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. It's just such a deeper way of knowing that book. And I don't necessarily remember everything word for word the next year unless I keep reviewing. But what stays with you are the ideas and the bigger picture of the themes. And when I read another book later, I'll recognize, oh, hey, why, you know, Jude is so much like 2 Peter. How did I never notice that before? Well, not until I memorized Jude and I was reading 2 Peter did I see all the parallels.
So you started with a short one.
I think the Jude. First, I think 2 Timothy was the first one I ever memorized. But
if people want to memorize verses, just how about this one? Jesus wept.
There's there you go. That's a great one to start with.
John 11. Yeah, there you go. Two words.
And you know, Greg, you said you stick with one translation. I think even better, stick with the same Bible. So what I will do
because you see locations of things, you know, yes, on the page where it shows up. Right.
Right.
I agree with that.
So later on, I'm
with
looking
a very good binding.
That's right.
You got to be a very high quality binding. Yeah.
Some backups of the same version of the Bible. But so what I do is when I'm starting out, I will actually make a photocopy of the page in the Bible that I can keep with me.
Mm.
So every time you are engaging another sense, you are helping. So having the visual of your Bible with you on a piece of paper that you can take with you as you're reviewing, so you have one way of seeing it. It just helps you to remember later on.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many ways. I don't know. Did you want me just to give some tips or?
Yeah, just bibble over.
Okay. All right. So the first thing I would say is just slow and steady. Slow and steady. You will be tempted if two verses go well, because some will go better than others because you'll be familiar with them. If two verses go well, you'll be tempted to throw on five more verses or however many you want to do. Don't do that. Just stick with one or two verses a day. Then add them on each day. And what I found is that if you set up a trigger, so let's say there's something that you do every day, say when you get into your car or when you're walking your dog or when you're brushing your teeth or whenever it is, something that you do every day that will trigger your review. So when I get in the car, that's when I will start at the beginning of whatever section and just go through it a couple of times before I go on. So that helps you to build that
habit. That's a great
habit.
Point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is say it out loud. That way you're adding the audio as well as, you know, you're looking at the visual, but you're hearing it, you're seeing it, you're thinking about it. So saying it out loud really helps. But don't just say the words. Put yourself into the book. Put yourself into the situation. So you're reading it as if it's something real that you're part of. And this was something that the guy who memorized Paradise Lost said. In the article, they were talking about how deep memorization happens, and it happens when you put yourself into it, and you're not just saying, you're not just trying to memorize words. Sometimes,
Go ahead. I want to jump in before you move to another point because this is so important. I have an illustration, but go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, I think this might be key to some of the reason that I recall some of these passages. For example, I have I remember something from 1 Samuel. Okay, this is David as he sees Goliath challenging the armies, you know, and his brothers are making fun of him, you know, and everything. But David is offended because you're coming here to see the battle. Of course, there's no battle, you know. They're all hiding in the bushes. And then David takes offense and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would taunt the armies of the living God? Now, notice that's the exact verse, but notice how he kind of dramatized a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I noticed with pastors. Very few pastors are good readers. They will read the text and it will just be kind of like rote-ish, you know, by rote. Then they talk about it. Why not read the text like it's like it's meaningful to them?
You're the one saying
how great of a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. Oh, so there's the verse. Now, how did I remember that? Because it just seems so cogent to me. When I talk about these verses, I talk about them as if they're my words, like if I was the author speaking them to somebody else, and that's the point that you're getting to. So I think there's a dual impact here. You put yourself more into it, and you get the feel of it more by living in it. And if you're a pastor, you'll do better for your congregation by speaking or reading the verses with more, emotion isn't necessarily the right word because you don't always want to read with more emotion, but it depends on the text. But read it interpretatively, you know, with mm-hmm. life in it, mm-hmm. as if you really believed it and you're saying it, which is what you're getting at. Go ahead.
Right, and so especially when you're memorizing one of the letters, you're reading, it's not just narration. It's someone speaking something to someone else. So you can put yourself in that position. And again, in order to do this, you need to understand what you're reading. So it forces you to think a lot more deeply and to meditate. Because when you are repeating the same two verses or the same five verses or the same chapter over and over and over, it will get into you a mm-hmm. lot more than if you're just reading. I would say most of what I would say this memorization has been the most helpful in helping me to know my Bible and to know the various books and certain ideas that I don't think I would know otherwise. But I have a few more if you want
sure.
some more tips. So
yeah, we got about 10 more minutes here.
One thing I found that actually helped me was, and I don't know why this is, but walking. When I'm walking, it's actually easier to memorize. And I don't know if there's something about the fact that you're using both hemispheres of your brain as you're moving. I don't know what it is.
Multitasking.
But you have to be willing to say it out loud as you're walking. So you might need to find a place where you're not afraid to say it out loud. But I found that that's actually been very helpful.
So if you're in the middle of the mall, you want to be saying, who is this uncircumcised Philistine, right? Probably.
Yeah, that might not be the best
idea. Restrain yourself.
So, and just, again, just do slow and steady. You will... You know, if you look at, say, one of the shorter books, you know, there are some that are three chapters. There are some that are four chapters. Those should keep you busy for a while. There are some that are one chapter. There's not that many verses in there. You have probably already memorized that number of verses just over your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So you would be surprised how possible that is. And sometimes I think you just need someone to tell you it is possible because you can't even – it's not part of your imagination.
Right. We don't do this. In the olden days, way back in the day, they used to do this all the time, memorize large portions of things. And we're just not given to that. Even in my girls' school when they were in classical school, there's an emphasis on memorizing these kinds of things. And I remember when I was younger, I memorized poems and stuff like that that were significant, you know. So people can do it. And the younger you are, the easier it is. And I think that one thing people might start with is some classic passages, maybe. Like start with Psalm 1. All right. Psalm 1 is a, you know, is a very, very classic psalm. Then, or Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And read it dramatically, because it's, I know that passage, that whole psalm, and I sometimes, when I can't get to sleep at night, I'll just recite it to myself very slowly, thinking about the words, and it helps calm my spirit. Normally, I can't get to sleep in the middle of the night because I'm waking up worrying about something, you know, and that helps me. So, but the point is, this is a classic passage that is not difficult to memorize.
And that's a great point, Greg. Start with something you love. Everybody has a passage that they think about that's helpful to them, that they love. Start with that. Maybe do a couple chapters right around that and see how it goes, and then maybe start on a whole book. Or maybe there's a book that you particularly love. Start on that book. See how far you get. But one thing I would say, if you start to get bogged down in one book and you've kind of hit a wall, it's okay to move on and do another one. It doesn't mean just because you don't finish one book, that doesn't mean that what you did there was worthless. That is all worthwhile. Start on a new book. You can come back to that one in a couple of years. I've done that. I started on Romans probably at least 10 years ago, and I just come back to it, and I'll do a couple more chapters, and then I review and keep going. So don't be afraid to switch over to a new book. That's okay. The goal is to be meditating on larger portions where you get to know your Bible in a way that you didn't before. And I will say, too, that in this article about the man who memorized Paradise Lost, they said there he did not have a special memory. There was nothing unique about him. He didn't have some sort of special gift. Their point was that anyone can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is it, as long as you take it in small chunks, you can do it.
You know, it also occurs to me, we emphasize so much the concept of never read a Bible verse. Of course, that concept is meant to point out that if you isolate verses by themselves and you cite them, it's easy to cite them inappropriately and use them in a way that the author did not intend, simply because you've extricated it from the flow of thought, which gives that individual verse meaning. It's kind of hard to do that when you're memorizing whole passages, when you're memorizing whole chapters, because you are embedding in yourself the flow of thought of that particular passage that then enables you to see the whole thing. And to me, most of the times when I've dealt with a theological or a biblical misunderstanding, that as a result of somebody isolating a text, when I go back to the text with the person and we look at what comes before and what comes after, we establish some flow of thought, their response is, oh, man, I see it. That's easy. And the answer is yes. In many cases, it is easy if you just look at the flow of thought. Now, we solved something this morning on our STR Ask broadcast together that I traded on the phrase that was in question in Romans 5 actually was repeated above a couple of verses and below a couple of verses of the verse in question. And when you see that phrase repeated three times, it suggests what the author intends with the verse, and it removes some of the ambiguity of the verse that was in question. Mm-hmm. Because you see this repetition, oh, I see what he's getting at. He's getting at this particular thing, and that resolved the problem. So by memorizing passages, it gives you the flow of thought, and even apart from the specific words, the flow of thought stays with you. And that's
exactly
the point you were making earlier.
Right. You won't remember specific words necessarily, you know, a month later, a year later, unless you go back and review. But you do remember that there are certain ideas repeated, or where they are in the page, or what comes before and what comes after. That kind of bigger picture will stay with you.
You also don't become a kind of a, what I think John MacArthur called once, a concordance cripple. That is, you know the line, but you have no idea where it's at. If you're familiar with the flow of thought and somebody says the line, the verse, not only are you likely to recall it as a verse you've memorized, but you recognize that this is part of the argument that Paul is using in the first three chapters of Romans, or the first four chapters, or whatever. And so you see its role in the discourse that's being offered. Mm-hmm. And therefore it recalls the whole thing for you. And of course, the liability of doing this, anytime you really are vigilant about reading a text in its context, is you're going to hear a whole lot of people that aren't doing that. In fact, my wife and I heard something just yesterday, and we both looked at each other like, oh, this is a dear man who is a missionary in China and blah, 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 and whatever. But then he cites this thing. We both look at each other like, oh, nice concept, but not what the author was speaking of in that particular case. But so you're just going to see this kind of stuff, and it might even be your pastor. So we're just going to ask you to have a charitable attitude towards other people, and don't fuss with them every time you disagree with them. Leave them alone most of the time, or else you're just going to be an annoyance to them. But you'll benefit from knowing Scripture. Thy word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, that's in the Psalm 119. Now, that's a long psalm if you want to memorize it.
Yeah.
And in English, it's hard because in Hebrew, it's like one couplet for every letter one chapter that all starts with the same letter in Hebrew. And in any event, that one stuck with me because I've reflected on it before, and there it is. It's just there when you need it. Amy, I'd love to talk to you more. We have got a staff meeting we have to go to, and this is meant to be a little bit more of a shorter session. But thank you for joining us and sharing some about your own memorization technique. I can't share about mine because I don't have one, but you do. And this has really, really been helpful. And maybe another time we can visit on some other issues that will help us just from your own spiritual life. Thanks, Amy. That's it for this segment, friends. Greg Kokel, it's Stand to Reason. You give them heaven now. Bye-bye.